DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. A search at the University of Delaware in the investigation into Biden's handling of classified documents. According to sources familiar, they did not uncover any materials with classified markings, but investigators retrieved some materials for additional review. The searches were at two locations on two separate days. In Memphis, the Shelby County Sheriff's Office suspended two deputies for 5 days for trying to hide their involvement in Tyree Nichols' death. Both had been with the department since 2021. Their suspensions were effective February 15th. The second of two reports on inflation is due out this morning.
Consumer prices fell from December to January, but they're higher than they were the same time last year. Today, we'll learn if the trend holds for wholesale prices. The producer price index measures inflation before it reaches a consumer. Last month's report showed a 0.5% drop from November to December, which was much better than analysts predicted.
ABC's Daria Albinger. This is ABC News. President Biden will host a private screening of the movie Till today. The White House has not said if any members of Emmett Till's family will be in attendance. An FDA panel voted that Narcan, a brand of the opioid overdose reversal drug naloxone, can be sold over the counter without a prescription. The FDA is expected to make a final decision by the end of March. A fast food favorite is going foul-free. ABC's Daria Albinger.
Coming soon to a McDonald's near you, McPlant Nuggets, the chicken-free version of the fast food favorite made with peas, corn, and wheat with a tempura batter, is the second product that McDonald's has developed with Beyond Meat. Stores in Germany will get them first. McDonald's says customers in Europe have been more receptive to plant-based meat products than those in the U.S. The McPlant Burger, its first product with Beyond Meat, is a permanent menu item in the U.K., Austria, and the Netherlands, but it was pulled from U.S. stores after a short test marketing period. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
Thank you for listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I'm coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left. It's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there on the airways, because a lot of times where you just get a little soundbite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll
get woke
in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Today, I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, happy, what is it? Wednesday, right? You lose track of time sometimes when you travel around the country. We've got a lot to talk about today. Will the culture war fascists win? In fact, what the hell is a culture war? And how does it relate to fascism? We'll talk about that in a moment. Also, Donald Trump says of the 2024 election, and frankly, the culture wars are the setup for that, quote, it's going to be a life or death election, end quote. How much more unaccountable violence is Trump going to inflict on America between now and then? How many more stochastic terrorists will he unleash? We'll talk about that. Also, our mass shooting problem is very simple. We have this mass shooting at Michigan State University. It's about access to guns. Where's the media on this? In the second hour of the program, Will Bunch is going to drop by, the Pennsylvania columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, I think it's called, about that toxic mushroom cloud over Ohio. It's just actually right up near the Pennsylvania border. And Marjorie Taylor Greene in our second hour is complaining that not enough money went toward rail safety in the infrastructure bill that she voted against. How twisted can you get? And we got a crazy alert. Charlie Kirk claims that Ohio train derailment is proof that there is a war against white people. Right. In the third hour of our program, I want to get into Jared Kushner's cozy ties with the Saudis. We've got a great geeky science, Microsoft's new chat GPT AI, their artificial intelligence contraption, is sending unhinged messages and threats to people. Remember Hal from 2001? Also, a new report says Russia is holding at least 6,000 Ukrainian children in re-education camps. Yeah, that stuff is back. So we've got a lot to talk about today. My op-ed today over at HartmanReport.com is titled, Will the Culture War Fascists Win? And, you know, I think the biggest point of this, and I opened the piece with it in the opening sentence, they call themselves culture warriors. In reality, they're fascists. Culture wars, in quotes, oh my God, we've got to get rid of teaching American history, or at least the black history part of it. We can't talk about gay people. We can't let drag queens, perform. All this kind of stuff. While it seems, I think the average American thinks this is like uniquely American, and this is just the politics of the moment. This is literally how Hitler rose to power. Hitler rose to power, one of his first actions in 1933, one of the first things that he did was purge the schools of books that promoted homosexuality, and then went after books by Jewish authors. Hitler, proclaimed he was a Christian. I mean, this is, And therefore, they had to clean out the schools and go after the liberals. This is nothing new. Viktor Orban rode this to power in Hungary, going after the Syrian refugees. Oh, my God, there's brown people coming into our country and they're Muslims. We can't have that. He campaigned back in, I think it was 2008 or 2010, whenever when he first really came to power. He was in office for a while. He lost power. He got reelected. When he got reelected, he transformed the country into a neo-fascist state. And in that campaign, he had ran on building a wall along Hungary's southern border to keep out those Syrian refugees that were, you know, crossing the Mediterranean on little tiny ships and coming in from Greece and Italy and whatnot. He was going to build a wall. He did. He actually built the wall. This is not culture war. This is fascism. Hungary is now a fascist state. There's no freedom of the press there, for example. In fact, kudos to Rachel Maddow for last night pointing all this out in her opening monologue. Democracies allow for healthy debate about cultural and political issues, from the level of government support to the needy, to limits on immigration, to the funding of public functions like schools, libraries, and utilities. You know, control of government in democracies regularly changes peacefully. It typically reflects the will of the people, as do the policies that they legislate into law. But in fascist countries, by contrast, both policy and leadership are rigidified. They're almost always under the iron fist of a dictatorial strongman leader and the morbidly rich. And legislation that passes represent the will of the special interests rather than the people more generally. And here in the United States, we basically have two parties who are dedicated to the two sides of this. We are at this bifurcation point, at this point, this fork in the road. The Democratic Party increasingly is embracing pluralistic democracy, egalitarian democracy, multiracial democracy. Democratic-controlled states like California are embracing even, you know, ending gerrymandering, putting into place citizen commissions to draw congressional lines that are fair to everybody. Democrats believe in democracy. Republicans, on the other hand, are doing the exact opposite. They are gerrymandering like crazy. They are purging so many people off the voting rolls, millions and millions of people every year, every election year, that when Mike DeWine was and John Husted were doing this in Ohio back in 2018, literally just in the big cities that are majority black, they were sued by the ACLU, I believe, and taken to the Supreme Court. And the five conservatives on the Supreme Court said, that's fine with us. No problem. You can purge people all day long. And they're doing it. They're doing it in red state after red state. Nikki Haley is giving a speech right now announcing her candidacy for president of the United States. And one of her biggest applause lines was that they were going to crack down on voting. The Republicans know that the only way they can gain and hold power is by rigging elections. They've been doing this since the 1960s with Operation Eagle Eye, that was started by William Rehnquist. He, you know, this big bear of a man, a 6'2" lawyer who used to stand outside polling places in black and Hispanic communities where he lived in Phoenix and loudly challenge everybody's right to vote. And a lot of people just got turned away and freaked out. This was before we had voter ID laws. But you could challenge somebody, and then they had to prove that they were a citizen. And if they looked like, hey, you might be Hispanic, you might be black, he would go after them. It was called Operation Eagle Eye. It was so successful, it was replicated all across the country by the Republican Party throughout the 60s and 70s until in the late 1970s or early 80s, I forget exactly when, but right in that time period, Democrats actually got a restraining order that lasted in place for over two decades against the Republican Party for doing this. Well, now they're back to doing it. This is fascism. This is how fascists rise to power. Fascism is the rule of the many by essentially an angry minority willing to use violence and political theater to rule, and merging the state with corporate power and billionaire power. And the Supreme Court set this up in 1976-78. Buckley and Bellotti, and 2010 with Citizens United. And here we are. But they still continue to call these things culture wars. This is, you know, and I in my article, I quote Milton Mayer at length. I'm not going to do that. You know, you've heard me do it so many times, probably half of you have it memorized, you know, where he was talking to good Germans in World War II, who said, you know, it was a gradual process. It was the culture wars. We thought that, you know, Hitler was cleaning up the society. He was going after the pornographers and pornography in the schools and stuff. And, you know, we didn't realize where it was going to end up. Well, now we know. And yet the media continues to allow the Republican Party to call what they're doing culture wars, like it's some kind of benign thing, like it's the war on drugs or the war on poverty. These are not culture wars. These are the strategies of fascism. And we need to start calling it out. You can't fight something, you can't stop something if you can't identify it, if you don't know what it is you're fighting. This movement by the Republican Party to block the teaching of African American history, this movement by the Republican Party to make it harder and harder for people to vote and to purge people off the voting rolls, this is fascism, and we need to call it that.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This movement by the Republican Party to reduce taxes on rich people and corporations, to deregulate pollution, it's all part of fascism.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a pack rat. Join the pack rat family. Call pack rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, pack rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. That's 800-334-5468.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, How Big Business Destroyed the American Dream. And next spring you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
If you've never taken a cruise, you've got to check it out. Your hotel goes with you. You only unpack once, and their food is legendary. If you're a regular cruiser, if you've taken many cruises, you need to check out American Cruise Lines. These cruises, these American River cruises, are just amazing. Whether you're a history buff, a foodie, or you just want to relax and take in the sights, American Cruise Lines has a little something special for everyone. Choose to explore the mighty Mississippi River with American Cruise Lines. On this amazing journey, you'll discover Civil War history you've only read about. Savor exquisite Cajun cuisine in New Orleans and experience the ultimate roots of rock and roll in Memphis. Or you can choose to explore the beautiful Columbia and Snake Rivers. You'll visit the scenic natural landscapes of Multnomah Falls, Mount St. Helens, and the incredible Columbia River Gorge as you retrace the historic steps of Lewis and Clark. Come aboard the newest fleet of American riverboats. Relax on your private balcony as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service and great food. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. And welcome back. So Donald Trump has come out now and said that in 2024 it's going to be a life and death battle. And I don't think he's speaking metaphorically. January 6th was a life and death battle. Three police officers lost their lives. Four civilians lost their lives as a result of Donald Trump whipping up that crowd. And increasingly, by the way, it's looking like Jack Smith is going after this guy. Now that he's subpoenaed Mike Pence, now Pence is going, well, I'm going to fight the subpoena. That's not going to work, but it's another Trump-like delaying tactic. And Pence, of course, wants to be president, and he knows that he can't get there without the Trump base. At least he can't get through the primary. Now we've got Nikki Haley. I'm curious your thoughts on Nikki Haley, where this is going to go. But Trump, again, yesterday, he was on this podcast with Jenna Ellis, and he said that the Democrats cheated to steal the 2020 election. And then he goes on to say that word woke, it means a lack of freedom of speech. He called himself, quote, one of the most important presidents ever. He said, I'm actually very nice, but you can't be too nice when you're trying to stop people from invading your country and destroying your country. Right. That was Hitler's shtick. Yeah, I'm a nice guy. I love dogs. I'm a vegetarian. But we got to do something about those older people. Trump goes on to say, quote, I think it's going to be a life or death election. I think it's either going to save our country or our country is going to go into an abyss like nobody has ever seen. Right. And then he took pot shots at Nikki Haley and also Tim Scott, the African-American senator from South Carolina, one of the few black Republicans out there. Trump referred to both of them as, quote, disloyal. Meanwhile, we have a mass shooting problem. We've had over 300 mass shootings. We've had over 300 people killed by guns just in the 72 hours leading up to Valentine's Day yesterday. Over 300 people killed by guns just in the 72 hours leading up to Valentine's Day. We have somebody on average die by gun violence in the United States once every hour. Guns are now the leading killer of kids. Now we've got this mass shooting at Michigan State University. Two of the people who were in the immediate area where the shooting happened, who survived the shooting, were also survivors of high school or elementary school shooters. One was a survivor of the Parkland shooting. The other was a survivor of Sandy Hook. I mean, this we now have people who are going through, I mean, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds who've been through two mass shootings in their lives. Literally, no other country in the world has this problem. Not developed countries, not developing countries, not absolutely, totally, flat out, poor, broke third world countries. We're it. We have 40% of the world's guns in civilian hands, and we are 4% of the world's population. We have over 400 million guns in this country. There's only a little over 300 million of us. Anybody can get a gun anytime they want. It's the guns, stupid. Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan and President Joe Biden, in response to this shooting in Michigan, where the gunman killed three people, killed three students, and seriously wounded five more. By the way, today is the fifth anniversary of the 2018 shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Anyhow, both Whitmer and Biden have now come out and said, it's the guns. We have too many guns. I mean, you can lay this at the feet of the NRA and the U.S. Supreme Court. Not their words, mine. Robert Shentrup, whose sister Carmen was killed in the 2018 Parkland massacre, said, quote, young people now experience gun violence multiple times throughout their lives. It's true. And gun violence, uniquely in the United States, is the number one killer of American children. Number one, bullets tearing their bodies apart. In Canada, it's car accidents. In most other developed countries, the number one killer of children is either car accidents or accidents more generally. In developing countries, the number one killer of children is typically disease. In full out third world, you know, Burkina Faso level of poverty, it's the poorest country in the world. Afghanistan, the second poorest country in the world. In those countries, the leading killer of children is typically disease or even malnutrition. But here it's bullets tearing their bodies apart. We're the only country in the world where that is true. And yet our politicians still cannot muster enough courage to take on the National Rifle Association and the gun lobby, the gun manufacturers lobby. This is insane. This is just absolutely flaming insane. We've got to do something.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
So if you were king for the day, or president, how would you tackle this problem? And what do you think about fascism? Is this real here?
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. That's 800-880-5013.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280.
A Progressive Voice.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
President Biden will host a private screening of the movie Till today. The White House has not said if any members of Emmett Till's family will be in attendance. An FDA panel voted that Narcan, a brand of the opioid overdose reversal drug naloxone, can be sold over the counter without a prescription. The FDA is expected to make a final decision by the end of March. A fast food favorite is going foul-free. ABC's Daria Albinger.
Coming soon to a McDonald's near you, McPlant Nuggets, the chicken-free version of the fast food favorite made with peas, corn, and wheat with a tempura batter, is the second product that McDonald's has developed with Beyond Meat. Stores in Germany will get them first. McDonald's says customers in Europe have been more receptive to plant-based meat products than those in the U.S. The McPlant Burger, its first product with Beyond Meat, is a permanent menu item in the U.K., Austria, and the Netherlands, but it was pulled from U.S. stores after a short test marketing period. Daria Albin, ABC News.
Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates.
Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. But it's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, what, Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, Truth.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Jean of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman Program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire 3-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com.
And welcome back. A beautiful Wednesday here. Well, I don't know how beautiful it is. It's kind of cloudy and gray, actually, isn't it? But, you know, hey, we're alive. The sun is shining somewhere. Let's pick up your phone calls. There's an awful lot here on the table to talk about. Kenneth in Seattle. Hey, Kenneth, thanks for listening to KBCS. What's on your mind today?
Okay, I'm addressing exactly your topic of the day. It seems to be mainly the horrific problem of guns galore and the result of mass killings, and the seeming brick wall of the is it the Second Amendment? Okay, here's a tactic to deal with that. You invoke the concept of original meaning. Now, the original meaning of bearing arms were the arms that they had, muzzle-loaded flintlocks. So tell all the gun enthusiasts and cannons, indeed. I really, really wish the word would be passed to all those who are advocating for gun control to pick up on this. Go ahead and invoke original meaning and say, yeah, you can indeed bear arms, cannons and muzzle-loaded flintlocks, and ban the rest of them.
All right. I love your sentiment, Kenneth, and trying to use originalism or textualism or whatever the latest BS from the Republicans on the Supreme Court is against them is, you know, great jujitsu. Unfortunately, you know, that's been discussed and tried. I didn't know it had been discussed.
Yeah. So.
But, you know, and even the Heller decision, I mean, you know, this horrible piece of crap that Scalia put together where he had to go back to literally the Federalist, anti-Federalist debates to find an anti-Federalist he could quote. Even the Heller decision argues that guns can still be regulated by the states and by the federal government. And in fact, we have those kind of regulations. You can't have a fully automatic weapon, for example. So, frankly, I think that there's a couple of simple things that we could do that would not run afoul, at least so far, of Supreme Court decisions and precedent. Number one, we could include semi-automatic weapons into the category along with automatic weapons as weapons that you must have a permit to own. Fully automatic weapons are not illegal in the United States. It's just that you have to have an ATF license, and that ATF license is quite expensive and very difficult to get, which is why, you know, if you want to shoot a fully automatic gun, and I've done this, you know, when we lived in Georgia, there was a shooting range, you know, in our neighborhood, and my kids and I used to go down there and shoot, and they had a fully automatic Uzi, they had a couple of fully automatic old Thompsons, you know, you know, you've got to have a license, and so let's extend that license to semi-automatic weapons, you know, with an exception or an exclusion for law enforcement. Number one. Number two, let's require everybody who has guns to have guns and possess guns and in the same way that we have and possess cars. This is not unreasonable or irrational. It's not a violation of our clearly constitutional right to transport ourselves around, you know, even between states. Article 1, Section 8 talks about the right of Congress to build roads. They call them postal roads, but, you know, roads in the United States. So you could argue that's as much of a right as the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. And it's not even an amendment to the Constitution. And what do we do with cars? We say, yeah, sure, you can drive a car, but if you're going to go on public roads, and you can drive it in your backyard all day long, even without a driver's license. So you're 12 years old, you can drive a car in your backyard. But once you go on the public roads, then you have to have a license that demonstrates proficiency. You have to have the car registered with the government, and that registration has to be renewed every year, so we always know who has that car and who's responsible for it. And you have to have liability insurance in case it kills somebody, because cars can kill people. We should apply those same things to guns.
Well, you're right. That is a parallel. Let me add something. The Supreme Court, of course, is heavily weighted on the side of the reactionaries. There's nothing, so far as I know, there's nothing saying that the Supreme Court cannot be cannot consist of more than 9 judges, for crying out loud. Let's get some sensible ones on there.
Yeah, I agree. That's Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution says that Congress has the power to regulate the Supreme Court. And 9 times in our history, Congress has changed the number of people on the Supreme Court. It's been as low as 6 and as high as 10. And, you know, frankly, we have now 13 district courts around the United States, or appeals courts, rather, and circuit courts. And I think, and historically, the number of circuit courts tracked the number of justices on the Supreme Court, more or less anyway. And I think that, frankly, we should expand the court to 13. The court is not able to do all the business that it really should. If they went to 13 or even larger, then they could do like a lot of circuit courts do, which is, you know, you have a 3-judge panel that looks at issues first. And then if somebody wants to appeal, you know, and back to the, you know, to the entire court, they can force the court, or they can request the court to come back and look it over again and maybe overrule the ruling of just the 3 by having all 13 of them or whatever. And, you know, those are things that is within the power of Congress to do. It's just a matter of the will. Kenneth, thank you for the call. Excellent points all. Michael in Cypress, Texas. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind today? Thanks for listening to SiriusXM.
Hey, good morning.
Sounds like you're driving.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I am. Do you need me to get off the speaker?
No, it's all good. It's all good. What's up?
Okay. Hey, I would like to talk about fascism. I've been watching the Rachel Maddow's document on fascism and the rise of it.
Oh, the ultra, you mean?
Yeah. And what you've been saying here and what we've been talking about in this country since, actually started with Reagan, to tell you the truth, but Trump just brought it to fruition.
Yep.
But the reason, what we progressive and liberal, for some reason, don't want to acknowledge, fascism always has been the minority come to power. Once they become the minority, I'm talking about, like, in America, the majority have always ran this country. Now they no longer, the majority, cannot win an election. Fascism is being spread in this country. And the reason it exists is simple. See what happened in January 6th at the Capitol? These people, you said it earlier, is willing to commit violence. You know why? I played ball sports all my life. Every coach I ever played for told me, if we don't meet aggression with aggression, we lose.
Yeah.
They willing, and they know that we're not willing. They see the weakness in us. That's why. If we don't stop this madness, it's going to be war. If not, the Democrats sit there and watch them do this gerrymandering. Lord, I wish there was another party I could vote for, because I hate the weakness of the Democratic Party when it comes to that. The reason people like strong people, what they think is strong people, like Donald Trump and these here, I keep getting tired of weakness. Fascism come to power because people see weakness in the other people.
Yeah. No, I get it. This particularly made me crazy back when Harry Reid was running the Senate and kept, you know, wimping out and giving in to Republicans. Chuck Schumer has more than I would like. That said, I don't want our party to become an authoritarian party, but I agree with you. We need to match their aggression with at least a wall, you know, something that stops them.
We got to show them.
That's right.
We got to show them. One thing about a bully, we all know this. These little metaphors, they are true. If you don't hit a bully in the mouth, he'll hit you, just like he did our Capitol.
That's right.
These people are serious.
That's right.
When are we going to get serious? Democracy, for me, is worth dying for, and you got to let these people know. I know y'all don't want to hear this. I know you don't want to hear it. I understand. But if we don't, we have lost this country. And I'm afraid that we have lost it. Because if you're not willing to shed a little blood for democracy or even die, it will die. I think it's dying.
Yeah, Michael, that you're right. That is the point at which you and I separate. Because I am not willing to advocate bloodshed in the United States for politics. And I realize that there are a lot of Republicans who are. And I think that the way that you meet that is not by saying, okay, I'm going to get my gun too, and I'm going to go out hunting Republicans the way that some Republicans have gone hunting Democrats, you know, like Kyle Rittenhouse did. Instead, you meet that by the force of law. But the problem is, and I think you're correctly pointing this out, is that many of our Democrats are not even willing to use the force of law when it's appropriate, and it should be. Michael, thank you for the call, and thanks for listening to us down there in Texas. George in Chicago. Hey, George, what's on your mind today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Tom. One quick point about original intent when it comes to the Second Amendment. When people back then spoke about, quote, the militia, unquote, depending on what state you were in or the position of the person advancing the concept, the militia was white males from, say, 16 to 60 or 18 to 45. That means if you're going by original intent, they're the only ones who get to have weapons now. Right. No women, no blacks, no browns.
And in five states, they were called slave patrols.
Exactly. But what I wanted to get at is this, and I hope nobody misinterprets this, because being a white guy, I can't put my feet in the shoes of African Americans, although I do my best to understand. On the subject of the talk that black parents have with their kids growing up and how it relates to the horrible police murder in Memphis, if you're like me, a native of the south side of Chicago, and your ancestors came from there, you at best had a reserved opinion of the police and at most a very cautious and jaundiced view of them. My dad's family grew up in Back of the Yards neighborhood by the old Union Stockyards, which was characterized as packing town in Upton Sinclair's seminal book, mm-hmm. The Jungle. And maybe the toughest neighborhood in Chicago for a number of decades.
Yeah, my dad grew up on the south side of Chicago in the 1930s.
There you go. When my dad was teaching me how to drive, he gave me his version of the talk. And it was very similar. You get pulled over by a cop, you stop, put it in park, shut the engine off, hands on the steering wheel or flat on the dashboard, and make sure you turn the dome light on. And it's yes, sir, no, sir. Have that window rolled down when he comes up. And even though I'm your standard issue working class white guy, I've had several encounters with the cops in my lifetime where I was disrespected and abused, one time on the verge of serious violence. And luckily a supervisor came on the scene and put a stop to it. Mm. But the problem of how the police in this country comes down hard on people of color, but if white folks think they're exempt, they're living in a fairy tale land.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's and you know, I mean, the majority of people who get killed by police are actually white, but not proportionate to population. Proportionate to population, the majority are black. But your point is well taken, George. We have a problem with policing culture in this country, and I think probably the soft spot, the place to attack that is by regulating the police unions. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
They've gotten very, very wealthy over the years, and they are lobbying very effectively, both locally and nationally. Going to bed at a decent hour didn't always mean I got enough sleep. Often I was either too hot, too cold, just not comfortable. That changed with my Cozy Earth bedding, the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding on the planet. Cozy Earth bedding is naturally temperature regulating, so Louise and I sleep great in any weather. And we're not alone. Like this 5-star review from Laura, quote, "My husband and I are getting the best sleep we've ever had, to the point where we don't wake up in the middle of the night because we're so comfortable. I can't wait to buy more colors." Cozy Earth bedding is made from the finest materials, including premium viscose, made from highly sustainable bamboo. And Cozy Earth is the brand that made Oprah's favorite things 5 years in a row. Whether it's their luxury sheets, available in 5 awesome colors, loungewear, pajamas, or premium waffle bath towels, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. Go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, and save 35%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code Tom, T-H-O-M. Louise and I love this bedding, and you will too. CozyEarth.com.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Ann Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Ann Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale is going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
There is no more fun and relaxing and just all-out comfortable way of vacationing than taking a cruise. Are you looking for a quiet, relaxing summer vacation in the quaint seaside villages and historic harbors of New England? Then let me introduce you to American Cruise Lines. Aboard their new fleet of small cruise ships, you will be transported to popular destinations like Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and Newport. In addition, this remarkable cruise will explore the scenic harbors and intimate ports along Maine's protected coastline. You'll marvel at the granite mountains of Acadia National Park, admire the classic schooners in Camden Harbor, and best of all, you'll be treated to an authentic and, not to mention delicious, lobster bake on the shores of Maine. Throughout this all-inclusive journey, you can relax on your private balcony, breathing in the ocean air and taking in the sights as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service and that extraordinary food. Simply request your free cruise guide today over at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. 53 minutes past the hour. Welcome back, Warren in Prescott, Arizona. Hey, Warren, what's on your mind today?
Thanks, Tom. What's on my mind is putting people and the earth over money and portfolios. But more specifically, if where we can get a dialogue going that perhaps gets it at the root of a problem you talk about many times, and it's all this money. One manifestation in the gun problem is the NRA, but it's all the lobbying. We know that a majority of people don't want assault weapons.
there's a clear majority of us that don't want assault weapons out there all over the place. And I just want to close with this one headline from a CNBC article about a year ago. If soaring markets help the richest 1% gain $6.5 trillion in wealth last year, according to the Fed. $6.5 trillion. Now, that's from CNBC, and I'm thinking, I see these articles where people talk about, I do a lot of commenting on articles in the Washington Post, New York Times, and people will say, oh, what's the wealth of a few billionaires? Well, as I understand it, we got, what, $20 trillion, roughly, in debt that it took us a country's lifetime to build, and the richest 1% took in about a third of that in a year. So anyway, that's all I got. I think that's kind of more of the fundamental thing, and I would like to see anybody who discusses any of these problems, I'm talking about politicians, supposed leaders, I'd like to see them start with that. If you want to talk about how we can't have, you know, universal pre-K, we can't have tax credits for people that need them, let's start off with $6.5 trillion in a year. And
just
that's what I got. Thank you.
Just because of Reagan's changes in tax law in the early 1980s, since 1981, there has been a $51 trillion transfer of wealth. Not I'm not talking about creating new wealth, which is what you're talking about here, where the stock market expanded and suddenly there was $6.5 trillion more wealth for the major stockholders, but an actual transfer of wealth out of the pockets, out of the home values, out of the banking accounts, out of the asset values, out of the payrolls of the bottom 95% of Americans and into the money bins of the top 0.1% of Americans. $50 trillion over a 42-year period. You can Google it. You can look it up. It's real easy to find. And that, I mean, this is just a friggin' crime, Warren. I completely agree with you. It's a crime, and we do need to do something about it. We need to educate the American people about what's going on, because this has reached the point now where the inequality is so severe. I mean, we've got, you know, billionaires shooting themselves into outer space on penis-shaped rockets with their loose change. They're not even noticing the expense. And we still have hunger in the United States. We've got, you know, 11-12% of our population that has absolutely no access to health insurance. We've got, one in seven children in America at least one day a year goes to sleep hungry. These are not things that should happen in a fully developed country, and frankly, don't happen in other fully developed countries. We've got one of the highest poverty rates in the entire world. And so, you know, we've got to do something about this. Warren, thanks a lot for the call.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agreed.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. We've got to do something about this. It's corrosive. Inequality is corrosive. It destroys societies. And here we are. On the other side of this break, Will Bunch is going to be with us to talk about that toxic mushroom cloud over Ohio. Why isn't it getting more coverage?
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-50.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
the devil's advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post ABC News poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire 8-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay. ABC.